Right, everyone, if we can take our seats at the table and get in shape for the next meeting, I'll just give a 1 minute call then, please. Right, if we can call the meeting to order, if we can close the doors, please, calm down the private conversations and get the things going, please. Thank you. If we could start the recording. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the GNSO weekend sessions on Sunday. This is a meeting all of us look very much forward to with much anticipation, our meeting with the ICANN board. So welcome to Steve Crocker and your colleagues on the board. It's great to have you here, Steve. Fadi, thank you for coming again. I know we've spent some time with you this morning already, and all of your colleagues on the board, welcome. If I could have the next slide, please. Let me just give Steve a moment. Steve, just a moment to...
Thank you very much, Jonathan. It's our pleasure as well to be here. Let me ask my colleagues on the board to just stand briefly so that you can train your sights on them. Good. And Bruno? Bruno Lanvin is incoming, but he's exempt for the moment. And is Wolfgang here? No. Wolfgang Kleinvechter is now on board. Anyway, it's a pleasure to be here. I'll turn the floor back over to Jonathan.
Yes, why did you steal our counselor? Welcome again. So the structure we've set up in conversation with you is a four-part structure, really. I think we've got an hour and a half together. I think we'll probably take around 15 minutes on each of the first two bullets and around half an hour on each of the third and fourth bullets. So in the first instance, we wanted to give you an update, and I'll explain perhaps why, from the GNSO, and then we specifically wanted to talk with you about the reviews. As you know, there is a potential for a board commissioned review that's due for that will include the GNSO in its purview, and we wanted to talk with the Structural Improvements Committee on that. The internet governance landscape, the international internet governance landscape, has been a topic, and although it's important, exciting, engaging, there's a danger that runs away with the entire agenda. And so whilst we've had a great session with Fadi earlier, there's an opportunity here to talk with the board colleagues about this as well as having spoken with Fadi, so we'd welcome that opportunity. And I think there's a natural desire to make sure we talk on some of the issues around the new GTLDs as well. So if I could have the next slide, please. So, I mean, you're all aware of the work going on in the GNSO. I'm sure some of you pay lesser or greater attention to it. So in a sense, there's a question of why should we even be talking to you about what's going on in the GNSO. But I think there's a couple of points I and we wanted to make here, is that there's a sense that sometimes there's a perception and reality gap that's existed between, has existed or may or still exists, between what goes on, the work of the council and the policy work that goes on in the GNSO. And certainly we heard perhaps more a year ago or some time ago. Perhaps we hear it slightly less now, but there was a sense of elements of words like the GNSO is broken, policy development process is too slow, things don't work, GNSO doesn't do what it's supposed to do. And I think there's a real danger that that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So one of the things we wanted to talk to you about is some of the positive progress, so that we could engage you in the work that's been done and goes on, so that you are aware of it and can be as much either our ambassadors and or our contribute to that. So I think we want to highlight a couple of points, really. There's some very positive progress that's gone on within the ICANN community over the last 12 months or so, including some significant steps forward from actually with the GAC, from a point where we at one relatively recent meeting didn't even meet with the GAC. We haven't made as good concrete steps forward, although I'm pretty optimistic that we'll start to do that we'll do that between the period between this meeting and Singapore. We've set up a new mechanism, a new forum for our way in which we work with the CCNSO. And, of course, I think we've had some pretty good engagement with you over the last few ICANN meetings, and we've really enjoyed it. And we've had a tone which is where we've been prepared to talk about things properly. Within the work of the council, and we've started to talk about a theme of continuous improvement, about the effectiveness with which we work as a council, taken some very practical initiatives to achieve that. For example, here we have on Friday this week, when I first came into the council as chair of the council a year ago, we typically at the annual meeting our new councillors come on board, and we had no mechanism to formally or induct and properly engage the councillors. Typically the councillors came onto the meeting at the tail end of the annual meeting, and we disappeared off around the world and never really. And I know many of you have worked in companies, on boards, in situations, and the induction process, those first kind of 24 hours, metaphorically at least, are critical to absorbing, engaging, and so that's one example. There are others. We've set up a meeting between our weekend sessions now, which we've had some minor logistical issues with, but the intent is there to squeeze in another meeting between the weekend sessions and the formal council session on Wednesday, the purpose of which is to tease out some of the issues that come out of the constituency and stakeholder group meetings and make sure we don't go into the Wednesday meeting ill-informed, underprepared, or having not had the opportunity to percolate out some of the issues which that can come out in a problematic way in the public council meeting, which then lead to the perception that we're dysfunctional. So we're actively dealing with things like this at a kind of management and operational level. We've picked up the PDP process, which we are fully aware is widely perceived within the community at different levels to either be too slow, not as effective as it could be, and begun to work at improvements and streamlining of that. In parallel with that, we're aware of the draft recommendations of the ATRT too, and are starting to try to knit those into our own work on improvements and streamlining. And of course, we're aware of a prospective board commission GNSO review. So all of these thread together to indicate that your GNSO, if you like, our GNSO, our policy body, our policy making body for generic names, is doing a variety of things to improve the way in which it works and to reflect well on you, on us, on the ICANN multi-stakeholder bottom-up model. So I guess what I'm saying is, in short, is we need your support and engagement with our work so that you can be potentially ambassadors of it and or assist us in continuing to improve it. Can I have the next slide? So there is an active stream of current work, and the last thing I'm going to do is talk you through it. But there is a very elegant, simple summary prepared by ICANN staff that's called a background briefing paper. It's available to any of you to read in two or three pages, and it'll literally take 5 minutes to skim over it, and you'll be aware of that. Some highlights I could quickly pick out are the work on cross-community working groups, something which has gone slower than some of us would have liked, but nevertheless a vital tool to potentially find ways in which we have a common understanding of how cross-community work can work. Of course, the policy implementation working group is something which is a very necessary initiative that has been thrown into sharp focus by the commissioning of the new GTLD program and all of the challenges that has meant that we've faced at a policy level, staff have faced on an execution level, and trying to understand how we don't find ourselves with those kind of issues again. And of course, the very high profile in IGO, INGO, PDP. I think we're open to hearing any questions or comments on that, but certainly I know that one of the points I wanted to highlight is that the Policy Implementation Working Group were very keen, if at all possible, to have any participation and involvement of at any level of board members who saw an interest in involving themselves in that. So I think that's a whistle-stop tour to try and present to you your GNSO in a way that you can feel positive about and engaged with. So hopefully that's done the job there. Perhaps I should pause and see. We can go on to the next slide, Lars. So that's really about the GNSO, and then we can move on after that on to talking about the next couple of items. Are there any comments or input or that anyone would like to make? I mean, I know Thomas is available if you wanted 5 quick points on the IGO, INGO, PDP, if that was something that because it's been such a high-profile issue, we're going to go and see the GAC a little while after this. Any comments, questions, or thoughts on what I've just said to you?
This is a full plate and very meaty subjects. Nonetheless, I want to take you on a small, not exactly a detour, but explore a certain area. If you could back up about 2 slides, I think. Let's see if that's possible. So there's 3 things that I wanted to mention, partly related to what's on the slide here and partly adjacent to it. I'm very, very pleased that you have the ATRT2 recommendations already in view and that you're working on them. The formal picture is that those recommendations are out for comment, that the review team will issue a final report by the end of the calendar year, and then officially the board has 6 months to respond to them. That period of time is devoted to getting decisions made about whether we accept or don't accept or accept with modification the recommendations and what the implementation plan is and so forth. And from prior experience, we know that time slips by very quickly. So getting a jump on that, which is what you're doing, is an extremely constructive and appreciated topic, because a piece of the planning process, and before we respond, is to find out what the impact is, how it's received, and so forth. So your inputs to that process are absolutely crucial and are the front end of that process. So I'm just emphasizing recognition and appreciation that you're on that. I want to flag that it was essentially a year ago that the board initiated a strategic effort on next generation directory services, which led to the formation of an expert working group, which I'm sure you're all familiar with there. That work is still continuing, and I think that the current schedule is that they will wind up their work at the next meeting in Singapore, and we will get a report from them. This is the right time and place for me to say the following. There's been a general expectation that what will happen with the result of that is that we will then ship it to you and say, okay, you implement it, or go through your PDP and it's done. I have a much less specific, less definitive perspective on it. I think that the output from that group is absolutely crucial, and I'll say a bit more in a second. But the next step is where things will get really interesting, because we need the assessment, we need the evaluation, we need the involvement of the entire community, and particularly of the GNSO in its entirety and the GNSO Policy Council, to assess what to do next. The basis for that work, the basis for the decision that we made a year ago, was an observation that the WHOIS system had some deep flaws in it, that those flaws had persisted for an exceedingly long time, and depending upon who you listen to, it's a decade or two decades, or in my case, I would say 40 years, and that we needed to change the game. We needed to not just keep sort of hammering on, let's tinker with WHOIS, but to look at it with a fresh take and step back and redefine the objectives and open up the set of possibilities. Having done that, we now have to proceed very carefully, I think, to understand the results of the expert working group and go through a full-fledged consideration and thoughtful process about what to do. Input from you is absolutely crucial before the board makes a decision about what to say. That is, the expectation is the board is going to pontificate and say, okay, we've received this, therefore we're going to issue some directive or make some resolution. That may be where things wind up at a sort of formal level, but I can tell you that we do not want to do that based on just what we can conjure up in the privacy of our little boardroom. That absolutely has to reflect substantive, thoughtful, and comprehensive input. So I know I don't need to say you pay attention to it, but in addition, I want to say we will pay attention to you in the evaluation of that. I want to make that a very big point. The last thing, I don't want to consume too much time, is this morning we had a kickoff meeting of a separate initiative aimed at raising the level of visibility about technical advice and improving our processes for acknowledging, recording, and responding to and coordinating the kind of technical advice that we get. We had a quite good meeting. There will be some notes from it. One of the takeaways was from a number of people who attended was that it's important for technical issues to be raised early in processes rather than late. And that is tickling my mind in thinking about, is it possible to take processes like the PDP and identify a point early in the process that's different from the latter point where there's something that's put out for public comment, and act as a kind of information gathering on helping frame the technical issues, helping understand the technical possibilities and the technical limits, and to do that in a way that is embracing of openness of the possibilities, as opposed to, you know, here's what we want to do, tell us what you think about it. Now, we understand that there is no technical advice that isn't intimately intertwined with implicit policy issues, but nonetheless, there is a room there, I think, for a bit of open discussion about technical possibilities and helping to frame those questions accurately enough so that later discussions about what the value choices are fit within those technical possibilities. So, thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Before we go to the queue, I'll just respond very briefly to let you know we did hear immediately prior to this from the expert working group. Frankly, when the expert working group was commissioned, it was a sensitivity, and it relates to a bigger sensitivity of work, how that goes on outside of the GNSO, when it impacts on the GNSO or is directly connected to GNSO work. But I'll let you know that the response was very warm, and the EWG, as far as I recall, has been the only group that received a round of applause from us through our weekend sessions. So it seemed to have been a very positive and very warmly received piece of work. Great. So far. So let me, Sebastian.
Thank you. In the course of your presentation, you talk about the organization of the meeting for the GNSO. May I suggest that this bring to the meeting strategy working group by the four members of the G Worlds who are participating to this working group, namely, because I have the impression that you maybe don't know, Don Austin, Michel Chaplot, Poncelet Lillegi, and Paul Diaz. There will be a good convener to our working group to take into account your needs, your evolution needs, because it seems that you are evolving in your needs, and it could be useful. And it's a meeting strategy working group who are a multi-stakeholder group, and I am sharing it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sebastian. Appreciate that invitation.
Ray? Thank you, Jonathan. I want to pick up on some things that Steve said with regards to the next-gen directory services and policy and so forth. And the point that Steve made about the fact that the management of technology, which is what we're doing, the technical management of certain portions of the Internet, implies policy. And that is definitely true of what's going to come out of the Next Generation Working Group. And there are certainly aspects in there that are actually going to require policy decisions. I would caution you against trying to have an omnibus directory services policy. You would probably get more done more efficiently if you did an analysis, because the report, is broken. They have worked in different areas, and so I think you would be better served trying to look in specific areas as far as to where there needs to be policies made, and do it that way. Belaboring the point, a lot of the problems that we've had with the applicant guidebook is precisely that, is that there are a number of elements in the applicant guidebook which probably should have gone through a policy process, and we wouldn't have the same kind of difficulties and questions that we have today. Yeah. Here is an opportunity to take a report, a path forward, and look at those things in there that are going to require basically criteria-type decisions. And those things actually should become the elements of a policy discussion. But the biggest thing, I think, is that to not try and make an omnibus policy and to actually make a series of policies, and you can group them into some kind of a category or something like that so you have them all together at one point. But that way, as the environment changes over time, you could make little tweaks and changes here by just changing that particular little piece of policy.
Thanks, Ray. One of the things that came out of the meeting immediately prior with the work of the IETF on the WEIRDS work was a recognition that actually WHOIS was being tackled in multiple different ways right now. And so one of the points that we haven't absolutely settled on, but a suggestion that was made, was to try and do some work to synthesize or at least understand the coordination between these multiple facets of work on who is going on. And I think that ties in quite neatly with what you're suggesting. So I wonder if the one other point I'd make on your third point, Steve, is that actually I think the GNSO has an opening, and for good reason it appears that for liaisons from other SOs and ACs, and for good reason it appears that that's not something that the GAC wants to take up, which is why we're exploring other ways of working with the GAC. But it strikes me that maybe there's an opportunity for the ESAC to take up that liaison point, and maybe that's something we can take offline with them in terms of the technical coordination in policy and so on. I don't know. I'm not sure I'm treading on something sensitive here, or whether that's something that's been discussed or dealt with before, but it's a little off-the-cuff suggestion.
Ram Mohan is a member of ESAC and is the ESAC liaison to the board, so there's an action item.
Any comment, Ram, or should we take it offline?
Nothing to say. That hasn't already been said in other places. So give the time back to you.
Thanks, Ron. Let's move on then to the next agenda item, which is to hear from Ray on the... Lars, if we could just move the slides forward to the... If we could hear from Ray on his thinking and that of the SI Structural Improvements Committee on reviews and the impact on the prospective GNSO review.
Thank you, Jonathan. Let me start by saying that there are a lot of people who say that we get reviewed to death. We don't know where we're coming or going with regards to reviews and what are we doing and whatever happens to these things and what a whole number of things. And yes, we agree. And we sat back and took a look at, and one of the reasons why we delayed, had the board requested that the board delay the start of the GNSO review was to let a couple of these activities occur, one of which being the ATRT, because they were evaluating, or if you will, looking at the policy process in the GNSO, and also the strategic planning process, which also is, in a sense, does reviews, because when it does this beginning look at things and does the SWOT analysis, that is in and of itself another review, if you want to think of it in that term. And so looking at what we had talked about with several of you before with regards to the two-pronged approach of the macro and micro in terms of determination of criteria and ways to move this thing forward, we've actually expanded that thought or a little bit, and we've actually decided that the term review is not necessarily the best term to use, and probably a more appropriate term to use is audit, because it reflects the importance of this to the organization. And if you think in terms of a financial audit, there are certain standards that are used, there's a certain discipline that's used. It has extreme importance to any organization, but two things are characteristic of it. One, it tends to be done without a lot of hubbub, let's put it that way. There are some people that are actually very directly involved, but by the same token, its work is recognized as being very important, and it is published, and it is a matter of public record. And so we thought, well, it might be better if we started thinking in those kinds of terms. The other thing that we looked at was the fact that the previous round of reviews really had no structure. It was what was ever thought would be the best way forward by the consultants that were hired. And in some cases, they really didn't know what was going on. And I can attest to that personally, having spent some time with the reviewers when I was the CEO of Aaron trying to explain to them how the GNSO worked. it's a problem. And so there needs to be some substance there. Another thing that characteristic was is that the review never looked forward. It never said, well, what are implications from the future from what you have? It had never looked at, for example, the relationship between one supporting organization and another. And so those are all things that we need to take on board in terms of moving forward. So I believe that you've been provided a link to a concept paper that we've been working on inside the Structural Improvements Committee. I won't belabor and go through in detail what it says, other than to point out that we've identified four types of audits that need to occur. These do not have to occur simultaneously. They do not have to be done by the same group of people, and they do not have to involve everyone. The first one is a process audit. And in a process audit, we are looking at processes. We're looking at the process from a standpoint, for example, does it have bottlenecks? Is it documented? Do people know what it is? Are the people that are participating in it know what they're doing? Look to see that if there are certain things that occur. If your process, the standard for your process would be the process that you have defined. And so if your process says at certain points of time you have to have a meeting, we would look to see if you had those meetings. But we wouldn't be looking at the individual elements inside that process. That comes in what we would call a process elements audit, which can then become actually a more real objective type of, almost a checklist type of a look at things. So, for example, let's take the example of meetings. We would then look at how you conduct meetings. In other words, do you give notice? Are minutes processed? And when are they published? And those kinds of things that are established with regards to meetings. And there are a number of other things along the line that we could look at as well. Then with regards to process, every process hopefully has an output, has a product. I mean, that's why it's there. And so that leads to the third type of audit, which is an output audit. And that's where you actually do what amounts to the quality analysis of what the process produced. So in the case of policies, it says that perhaps a year to 18 months after you put a policy in play, you look at it and you say, did it do what we thought it should do? Did we get an unintended consequence? Did it create more problems for us? So you actually are doing the audit of that of that output, and you can then decide whether or not you need to have a new policy or change the one, or it's good to go and just keep it moving. The last one is a structural audit. A structural audit is really you're looking at the capacity of the organization to do its work. You're looking at its capacity both now and in the future. And in all the other points, we look at that as well. Will this process work going forward, given the fact that things that we know about the new environments? And then you're looking at the structure, you're looking at the capacity, the ability of the organization to do what it's, to do what it's mandated to do. So that's a general concept. And like I said, these will not be done necessarily in conjunction with each other. They do have to, at some point in time, be coalesced together because the output of all this needs to go somewhere. And what has happened in the past is that it's gone into some sort of a list of recommendations followed by an implementation report, then followed by, okay, let's figure out how to do it. The how to do it piece of it is the interesting thing because then we end up with special budget requests and all kinds of things, and it becomes a separate thing from the way we do the rest of our business. What we need to do is integrate the output into the strategic planning effort and make sure that that what needs to be done can be covered by one of the objectives that's there. If not, then we need to have a new one. It needs to be folded then into the operational plan where the projects come for implementation, which then will lead it to becoming a budget item. And so the idea is that it then becomes institutionalized and it's part of the organization. We don't have to answer the same kind of questions that we did after ATRT1, which is how is this thing going to become part of our DNA? It is going to be part of our DNA because we have identified the means by which we're going to integrate it. So how are we going to do this? We're beginning to discuss that. One of the key elements that was missing, I think, from the last one was active participation by the organization that was under review. And the only active participation you had was maybe being cornered in a hallway by a contractor who was going to sit down and ask you some questions about the way you did business or what your opinion was. That's not really active participation. We just need something more than that. There's some things that you need to do yourself. And one of those ways of doing it is to look at the utilization of a 360 style of assessment. Quite clearly to me, and we would do this. We will do this with surveys, targeted surveys, very specific questions. But one of the things I would see is that, from an internal perspective, is that the GNSO, however it wanted to do this, would look at its own work that was done since the last review. How well did we do? Did we implement what we said we were going to do? And if we did it, how well did we do it? Did we have problems doing it? Those kinds of things. And there may be other things that we decide as we move forward and define the criteria that you would look at. That's not all I see as the active participation by the GNSO. There may be other things that I'm not quite clear in my mind yet what it is, and actually we're going to be coming to you and asking you for input, because we need to have you, the GNSO, own the GNSO review. ICANN is going to facilitate it and help make it happen, but it's you that has to really make it work. The second thing we're going to look at is the formation of a community working group. And we have to decide more about what the remit of this community working group is. The obvious thing that you say is, well, gee, they can be the guys that do all the planning and this go on, and then we'll go out and fire some consultant to do the work. Well, I think there's probably more that could be done here. One of the things that this community working group could do could be the body that actually takes the inputs from the 360 assessments. You know, other organizations outside of the GNSO will be doing assessments on you as well. And also we would pull the board and pull the staff. So we're looking in many different directions. Okay, we've got the audits going on in terms of process elements. That's a checklist thing. You hire a guy to do it. You're really looking at hiring an auditor type of a person and saying, here's what I want you to look at. Here's the standards. Answer these questions. And they would produce data. And this community working group can then take these kinds of things and bring it back. And they be the ones that formulate the recommendations. And they are by taking input from other places. One of the problems that the ATRT2 has had is just that effort of having to go out and collect the information. And so they surrendered a certain degree of time where they could actually be focused on what the data really means. So this will help in that regard as well. And so in the end, we're going to be asking you questions. The SIC is moving forward on this. Hopefully we will have before the end of the year a paper that's beyond the concept paper that's been provided to you, which talks about these methods. And also at that point in time, we'll be looking for, in the early part of next year, input from you. The idea is to get this whole system put together so that we can then conduct the first series of audits, if you will, with the GNSO. So the GNSO gets to be a pioneer in this, if you want to look at it that way. And so there's a lot of things that I'm looking forward to in terms of being able to use your expertise and experience in making this work and move forward, and then we can adapt it to the rest of the organization. So I know I probably took a little bit more time than you wanted me to, but I hope I didn't take too much time.
Thanks very much, Ray. I know people were very keen to get an update. We've got a lot going on. I think, Jeff, you had a question or a comment. So let's see if we can... I suspect there's quite a lot we'll want to take offline with Ray as you develop your thoughts and ideas, and we'll try and find a way of doing that. But in the meantime, go ahead, Jeff.
Thanks. This is Jeff Newman. Thanks for the update, Ray. And I actually like the way the audit concept is headed. I kind of like that. One of the points that I made earlier on, and I would like to make in front of this group, is that we've had a lot of reviews of the GNSO over the years in different ways, whether they've been formal ones through the board or ATRT or whatever. But there's one thing that's never been done in any of these reviews. Every review has involved interviewing people and talking to people as to what their perception is. But I've never had a reviewer, and I've been with the GNSO, DNSO for 13 years, right? There's never been a reviewer that's actually observed us, that's actually come into our meetings. It's actually, everything is based off of perception, but there's never been someone from the Structural Improvement Committee that's been in our meetings. There's never been anyone from the ATRT that's been in our meetings watching us. There's never been anyone back in the Evolution and Reform, I think we called it, with Alejandro Pesante, when he did that back in 2003, whenever that was, and the London School of Economics, they never came in and observed us. They actually just talked to people. And that's got some value, but as I use this example, when I go see my psychiatrist, no, I don't really have one, so please don't. Well, I might, but I'm not going to admit it. It's basically like someone prescribing me medication to fix my problem without ever observing me, but talking to all my friends, right? There's a lot of perceptions, and there's a lot of people that will tell you how crazy they think I am. Maybe they're right, but the only way to know how crazy I truly am is to actually observe me. So that's my point.
Thanks, Jeff. Keep watching.
If I may respond, although your paranoia is noted, you're raising a very good point, and I'm talking about ways of active participation, and this may be one of the ways that we could do it, is find out a meaningful way of doing it. And I totally agree with you. The process in the past of basically grabbing people and talking to them is not effective, and it has come up with uneven recommendations. It's come up with poorly formed recommendations. And, yeah, I can remember the first GNSO review so vividly. It was myself and two of the other regional registry CEOs were asked to be interviewed by the reviewer. And the very first question he asked us, I can't remember specifically what it was, but we all looked at each other and said, this guy does not know what he's talking about. So we spent most of the time trying to educate him about ICANN, its structure, and what the general missions and so forth were. And we asked him kindly that after he went out and found out all this information as far as how things worked and could actually form some good questions, come back and ask us for our opinions then. We never got asked again, by the way. And so what you're suggesting, Jeff, I think is very valid. It would be very helpful to me if you could put that into a paragraph or two and just send it off to me directly. It would be very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ray. Wolf Ulrich?
Yes, thank you very much. Ray, I'm also with you with this audits. I like that. But you can call it as you like. So I think one of the most important things is when you set the frame for this, that you think about the timing as well, so that we could have a kind of goal, of target of that, and not just running away, and then it turns out like it did the last time with the GNSO review, that we were self engaged in that of around 3 years with that process. So really take that seriously, that we could have a process which is very, very clear and which very in a time frame which is rational. Thank you.
Very briefly, we have actually looked at that, and when we talked to several of you before, when we were talking about the micro-macro approach, we actually talked about the 5-year cycle. And in that 5-year cycle, most of the time in that 5-year cycle was spent by the organization operating under the recommendations from the last review. We essentially looked at the front end of it, if you will, as actually being the back end, and that is the planning and organizing the criteria from the last review. But since we're starting over, if you start from that standpoint, if you look at maybe a year and a half to put things together, get started and moving along and getting it done, and to include the development of getting things integrated in strategic plans and so forth, then that leaves you probably about a year or so to actually go through and make sure you get things are moving in the right direction. Then you take 2 years to operate under these recommendations. So you get some experience, and you can document it. Now, one of the things that we hope to be able to provide, and we will if you help us, is the ability for yourselves to do self-reviews whenever you want. You may decide, I want to do a process audit on this. I would fully expect that every one of your processes would have built into it a outcomes audit, so that you would automatically look at the outputs from your processes. I fully would expect that at some point in time that you might decide that you want to get a look at what's going on in the organization as perceived by other people. And so you might want to talk about some kind of a cross-constituency assessment. But these are the kinds of things that you could do yourself as things move along to help plan where you are. So that when you get to the end of this 2-year operational period, you actually sit down and do the self-assessment about where you are and so forth, and that becomes part of the feed-in to the next formal audit cycle.
Thanks, Ray. I'm very conscious that there's a number of other items and that these are areas that there's some either strong feelings about or strong interest in, and so I think we should move on with your permission. Great. So thank you very much for that update, and let's move on now to this area of international. I see we've lost an eye on the internet here. I don't know what that means, but I think really this is an opportunity. We've had some background discussion with Thuddy this morning. We've had some quite effective dialogue and discussion around it. I really think this is an opportunity to hear a little bit more about the board's role or views on this, but also for questions from within the GNSO that are floating around. So I'd very much like to turn this over to provide some. I don't know, Steve, if you want to make any remarks at all to set things off, or if we should just open it up to sort of Q&A type discussion.
I'll say very briefly. Things have been moving very rapidly. We have watched over a period of time the complexities about the internet governance discussion. And whenever we talk about internet governance in the ICANN arena, it's probably helpful to distinguish two broad classes of discussion. Some of the discussion about internet governance is focused on the role of ICANN, the structure of ICANN, the control of the IANA process, and so forth. But there is a much larger internet governance discussion about the totality of issues of which ICANN has evolved in a relatively small fraction of them. It's really the latter discussion that has developed quite a bit of body and lift over the past year, and the events of the last few months have been quite remarkable in adjusting and shifting and opening up the nature of that discussion. Happy to have discussion and involve anybody else. Bertrand's got his hand up already.
Yeah, just two elements. The first one is to complement what Steve has just said. One of the big challenges is that when we talk about internet governance, there is a misunderstanding. When we stand from ICANN, we see it mostly as all the issues related to policymaking or standard setting in the logical layer, the naming addressing system, the standards, and so on. If you look at the definition of internet governance that came in the World Summit on the Information Society, it says that it is, in a nutshell, the development of regimes that shape the evolution and use of the internet. The evolution of the internet is what we could call the governance of the internet, of the logical layer. That's what we are in. That's our mandate with the sister or brotherly organizations of the ISTAR community. The use of the internet is basically the governance on the internet, and it covers a lot of issues that touch upon things that you do mostly in your activities, but that do not necessarily fall within the remit of what ICANN does. This means, for instance, freedom of expression, privacy issues, copyright protection on the content. The whole content and application layer is not within ICANN's remit. And so one of the big challenges that we've all faced, and that explained in a certain way the urgency that has been expressed in the last few months and weeks, is that there is no space at the moment, save the Internet Governance Forum, to address those issues of governance on the internet in a multi-stakeholder manner. And from your observation point of view, you see that today most actors are confronted with the absence of international frameworks to discuss this, and therefore are very naturally resorting, and it's not an accusation at all, to the tools that exist, i.e. the multiplication of national laws to try to solve some of those issues. And so it is not a matter of whether it is the governments or not the governments who handle this. It's the risk of having a proliferation of different national regimes, each of them being elaborated perfectly with good intentions even, but that will be piling up and be very hard to reconcile. And for most of you who are active in this sector, the notion that you have to be confronted with the patchwork of national different regimes is something that triggers the need to demonstrate that the multi-stakeholder approach to have a better transnational collaborative approach to most of those issues is important. So that's the first element. The second thing, shorter, is I want to give a testimony to what happened during the IGF in Bali a couple of weeks ago. I've participated in all the IGFs since the inception. And those of you who were in Bali may confirm or infirm what I'm going to say. It is the first time where there was a positive dynamic tension within the IGF itself because of two reasons. One negative common concern, which was the overshadowing of the Snowden revelation, the surveillance challenges. And second, the, let's say, positive, even if full of question marks, common topic of discussion, which was the initiatives that led to Brazil announcing the potential meeting in April or May. The fact that there is now this milestone is actually changing, and has changed in basically a month, a lot of the discussion, because the principle that the multi-stakeholder approach is appropriate to handle those issues of governance on the internet now has its own track. And so I just wanted to give this testimonial because as an old-timer of the IGF, there was a definitive different feeling and dynamics around this. And I think the main objective is to make sure that the Brazil event, as much as we can, is a success and a multi-stakeholder event that establishes a demonstration of the usefulness of the approach.
Thank you, Bertrand. I'm aware of John Berard, Volker. Is anyone else wanting to speak? Wolf, Ulrich?
Olga.
Go ahead, John.
Thank you. John Berard, GNSO counselor from the business constituency. I think what I just heard from Bertrand is more evidence that he has been quite an influential person, not just inside ICANN, but outside. I appreciate your efforts on internet governance. I subscribe to your newsletters, although not to every point of view that you have. The one concern that I do have, much more practical, is that as the scope, perhaps not of the mission, but of the issues that ICANN is spending time on, and the pace at which we are moving, or it is moving, to deal with these issues, there is an organizational tendency to diminish distractions so as to be able to accommodate the consultations that make the decision making. And the concern that I have, the evidence that I have seen, is that those eliminating distractions tips into becoming a more secretive organization. And some of my colleagues, for example, have suggested that the board resolution from September, where Fadi was authorized to, his word, energize the international community, has some of the same characteristics as a FISA court warrant. You know, the concern that some of us have is that as things move quicker on a wider field of play, that there will be an urge to do things further and further from the view of the community. And so that's a concern that I would like to put on the table.
Any responses or comments that anyone would like to make to John's point?
Well, let me speak to it a bit. We're going to say quite a bit more later today and opening comments tomorrow, but I'll give you the basics here. We were speaking for the board. We were quite strongly convinced that it would be a very good thing to engage in this internet governance melee, as it were. I'm sorry. We were quite speaking for the board. We were quite convinced of the importance of this subject and the need for the creating a broad-based coalition that was certainly not just ICANN, but not even just the iSTAR community, but a much broader community. And there was a kind of tactical question about how to take the insight that that we shared with Fadi and move forward with that. And there is a challenge of whether you lead from the front, whether you lead from behind. How do you help energize other people and not have the backlash, if you will, of seeming like we're trying to be in charge or grabbing power. So on that account, we carefully, and we don't do this lightly, we engaged in the sort of delayed disclosure strategy of telling Fadi we strongly support all this. Please go forth and help create the coalition. And then let's try to do this with as little fanfare about waving the flag like we're leading this charge and we're making in charge. Look at ICANN. So, yes, we understand that in itself carries its own burden and leads to a discussion like this. But it was a deliberate choice that we made, and among the choices that we had to make, that was the one that we thought was the best. We are taking the wraps off of the very straightforward resolution that we passed then, and we're passing another resolution that will confirm that that's the direction we're on, and we will try not to have any more of this so-called secretive stuff. But we're very, very conscious that any time that we do something in camera, we better have a very specific and contained reason for doing that.
Thanks, Steve. I've got a number of people in the queue. Most of them are counselors, so I'm keen to make sure that we balance it. Okay, thanks, Erica. So Volker is next.
Well, Volker Greimann speaking. Steve has already answered most of my question, which was also regarding the secrecy, so I'm just going to cut it short. I think it's worrying that such secrecy is required, that secret decisions are made, but under the background that you just described, it's understandable that this decision was made, and I would support it in this case as well. So I'm just handing over to the next question.
Thanks, Volker. Next in line, I've got Olga, and then we'll go to Wolf Ulrich.
Thank you, Jonathan. Let's see if we can close the circle on some other impressions on what's been called secrecy and panic or urgency. But without hyperbole, what we're really talking about is confidentiality and timing. So on timing, sometimes as we go about our ordinary course of business, fulfilling our missions, the mission of ICANN, and what we all do in the immediate internet community, there are events going on around us regarding internet governance that are not an integral part of that mission. And by that, I won't go into great detail. My excellent colleague Bertrand has named the organization and the dialogues that were taking place. No one in those contexts, either at the UN or at the ITU or in the preparations for the plenipotentiary, was going to come with a notepad to ICANN's door and ask internet community, ICANN specifically, what do you think about all of this? So while that situation was playing out, a vacuum of opinion was being created. And as time went on, it became more and more evident that it was time for, I would say, deliberate action, not in a panicked way, not with an undue urgency, but it was definitely time to wake up and react. And that time came around the September timeframe, because it coincided specifically with the outcome of the preparations in the Latin America region for the World Telecommunications Development Conference, at which it was clear that there was a consensus for dramatic change in the internet governance space. With that panorama, then the board had to consider, well, how shall we go about the beginnings of a reaction? And it was clear that the beginnings of the same should be very low-key, should be very consultative. And the only way to proceed with a low-key, consultative, very preliminary response was to do so not in a secretive manner, not in a conspiratorial manner, but rather in a confidential manner. Why? Because the informality of the necessary initial consultations that needed to take place had to be just that. They had to be informal. If they were formally announced in a public resolution, etc., we would have been taking away from them the very necessary nature. They would have been pre-announced, they would have been studied and analyzed globally, and they would not have been received with the creative and successful responses that FADI was able to glean. From that, the board was in constant communication, although restricted by the confidential nature of the resolution with FADI, and frankly, we were all very impressed in the most positive way with the results that were being obtained, and by the same token, very eager to share that with you and consult with you our further steps, which really brings us to today. Thank you.
Thank you, Olga. It's very helpful to have that insight. And I'd just like to remind us of the conversation, because the rest of the board wasn't there with FADI, and our conversation with FADI this morning very much had a forward-looking way. So whilst it's very useful to dig into this, and I think for many it's a very important set of questions to ask, I wouldn't like the board to think that that is the only emphasis of the GNSO. So let me hand over to Wolf Ulrich. Okay, so Wolf Ulrich, you've covered Zahid.
Thank you. So I'm not going to try and be repetitive, but there are transparency issues obviously involved, and I think you've done a great job, by the way, to explain some of the aspects around here, so thank you for that. As far as the consultation, a confidential consultation is concerned, I think it would have been helpful maybe that some of the groups within the community, maybe at a leadership level, et cetera, may have been taken into confidence confidentially as well, rather than just outside ICANN. It might have helped. And, you know, that's in the past. Fine. What I hear now basically is, you know, we would like this process to be multi-stakeholder. Everybody needs to pitch in. We need to do all of this stuff. The challenges with that, so far anybody we speak to really talks about aspirationally what ought to happen, but we haven't really heard beyond the fact that you guys need to go and get involved and our hands are off this, we've done this, the baby's in your hands, to say, well, what's the strategy of ICANN itself now? And I think if you accept the fact that you should have been involved in this and reacted and responded, well, then you need to also accept that you need to have a strategy and not simply tell the community that, okay, it's your problem now, go to OneNet, and guess what? It has no resources, it has no staff, but this is your problem now. So I don't think that's what you mean. I think what you're trying to say is we want to keep a distance from it so that it's an independent process, and I respect that. But I do think ICANN needs to have a strategy, because there are things that we have heard directly from government representatives, the use of the words summit, the use of the words, and I'll repeat these, that the multi-stakeholder process is no big deal and nothing new, because the CGI is a multi-stakeholder process. We know multi-stakeholder more than you do. That's a problem. It needs to be fixed. And we need to have a strategy, not just say, well, everybody keep on sort of tooting the horn on this. What's the strategy? Second, equitable redistribution of internet resources, verbatim response from the Brazilian government. What's the strategy to address that? Decisions will be taken for implementation, quote unquote, at this event, which they've called a summit, and there's discussion whether summit or not, but decisions for implementation in other forums will be taken. What's the strategy that ICANN has for that? It would be helpful. And lastly, what is the engagement within the ICANN community to, for this issue. It's not an, not specifically a GNSO council issue, but what would the board would like to see us as a community get involved? So if we were to go to OneNet, what can we do to collaborate and coordinate here? So these are all forward-looking issues. I think it's fine that we want to move forward, we want to help, we want to pitch in, but then what's the strategy? And it, we're looking to you, the board, to help us sort of craft that or help us with resources, et cetera. Because without the resources, it can't happen.
Yeah, Zahid, it's actually, the Brazilians have announced that it's going to be, it's called a global multi-stakeholder conference on the future of internet governance. So they're not calling it a summit.
Oh, well, that's fine. That's great. But
so just for clarity.
But that doesn't say what are the issues they're going to be dealt with. Equitable distribution, that's fine as a title. Doesn't address the issues I just raised.
Okay, I've got a response from Erica. I'm very conscious of time, and yet this is important. Erica, go ahead.
I didn't actually wanted to say something because I think it's still quite early to talk about this. But let me just maybe make a brief comment because I think the last comment, it's extremely important. And I think it highlights the fact that we have to find a way how we can work together now because this meeting is coming up. This meeting will set a kind of precedent for other things to come. I think I like it because it brings the BRIC countries closer to what we want to achieve. And I think it is important to have them on our side. It's always better to have somebody as a friend instead of an enemy. Let's put it very frank. So I like it, but I think there's a lot of which needs to be done to put everything on the right track, and we should work together. So your words, I think, are actually very much supporting what we discussed on the board. We had a long discussion yesterday. We will debate it about again. So, I mean, all ideas, everything, you know, which you just said and then somebody else would love to raise, it would be perfectly fine, and it's important for us actually to get it right, not just the board, but we all together. Yeah.
Thank you, Erica. I've got Thomas and Jeff in the queue, and then I think we'll switch to the last topic. Wolfgang, we'll close the queue on this topic afterwards, and we'll try and get a few minutes on the final topic.
Thanks very much, Jonathan. My name is Thomas Rickert, and I'm a NOMCOM appointee to the GNSO Council. I hope that I will not sound too negative with my comment, and I would like to give you reassurance that I very much support the idea of ICANN not leaving a vacuum in the area of internet governance. Nonetheless, I'm not entirely sure whether it is possible, as you said, Fadi, to just energize a discussion and then not be seen to be responsible for what has been started. And I think there are chances that this forum that's going to be created in Brazil is going to be abducted or used by third parties to present ideas of a multi-stakeholder model which is not identical to our understanding of the multi-stakeholder model, or where projects are being kicked off that might turn out to be detrimental to ICANN and its mission. And my question is to you whether you are strategically thinking of ways on how to navigate out of that, to avoid damage to the reputation of ICANN as an organization, particularly in the light of huge parts of the community having been caught by surprise of this initiative, so there was no upfront community backing.
Yeah, if I could answer this, and it partly answers Zahid as well. Look, we're not going to the Riviera for the next 6 months, relaxing. You know, we're going to be very, very, very engaged. But the change in posture is simply, how do we get engaged? And to date, to be frank, the board gave the staff the opportunity to just energize the process. Now, where we go from here, when I said this morning that we need to step back and Zahid and you now are saying, hey, hold on before you leave. What I meant is staff should not be leading anymore on its own. Now it's time we all come together and indeed develop an ICANN strategy that feed into all of these fora. The good news is we understand how these fora are working. whether it's the steering committee of the Brazilian conference or the OneNet coordinating committee we're trying to form. We've been there, so we know what is happening. We need to now bring our community with us. So it's no longer, quote-unquote, to be quite direct, it's no longer staff or FADI leading. It's rather all of us together strategizing and going into these places and making our voices heard. So we will do that. We will do that actively. We will be working with the community through our SO and SE teams to form working groups, to start thinking how we're going to participate straight into OneNet, but also amongst us, because we are a very diverse community as well, just even in this room. So we need to have common strategies. And some of you, I know, will go straight to OneNet and be engaged there, and that's good too. I mean, it doesn't preclude it. But I think we, as ICANN, will work with our community now, not anymore with this kind of energizing process that happened in the last 8 weeks. That's now behind us, and we need to now mobilize. So as Sally said, we moved in three steps. First, to protect ICANN, then to energize, and now we're into the third phase, which is to mobilize. So we studied why we need to do this. It was to protect ICANN largely, and that's why we did it. Then we energized the processes and created the coalition, and now we're moving into the mobilizing state, where we need to work together, strategize, and win. And we will win. We will win. Don't worry too much.
Wonderful. Thanks, Fadi. I know I've got Jeff in line and Wolfgang as the last, so if I could ask you to be as brief as possible so we can try and touch on the last topic at least.
Yeah, thanks. This is Jeff Newman. And I am not an internet governance specialist. There are so many others in this room that are much better at this. And so my point is only kind of tangentially related, which is my concern is that we are going to spend so much time on this issue, and that in our effort to preserve ICANN's existence, that could be the very thing that distracts us as a community from achieving ICANN's mission. And that's my great concern. ICANN's very unique in this whole ecosystem. We're not just policy. We're not just governance. We are, ICANN is an operational entity. And my just caution is that this is extremely important. I'm not saying it's not to pursue internet governance in the role, but what's more important and what will make us look, or I shouldn't say more important, what is also important is, or what would be worse, is if we fall down on the very thing that we're trying to preserve.
Let me just offer a quick response. Jeff, that very point about what is the mission of ICANN versus these various distractions has occupied my thinking from my very first involvement with ICANN over more than a decade. And I used to draw somewhat humorously a three-layer cake with a very thin layer at the bottom, which was the technical stuff and the IANA function, a much thicker layer for the contracted party relationships and so forth, and then an enormous frosting and whipped cream structure for the political involvement. And as I say, I take your point very seriously. We are still grounded and still focused on getting the job done. And one of the rather dramatically great things about the period we're in, due in large part to the extraordinary capabilities of our CEO, is that we do have the bandwidth, we do have the capability, but the risk that you've identified is one that we're deeply conscious of on a continuing basis. And so we do have a very strong focus on operational excellence, on efficiency and effectiveness. And because without that, we lose our legitimacy, we lose our capability. We understand that very deeply.
Yes. That's a very neat sort of segue into this next topic, because that, in some ways, is as I understand it, the purpose of having this next topic. Wolfgang, are you happy to pass, or would you like to talk? Go ahead.
There's only one point to Sahit when he asked it, what can we do? My recommendation is go home, talk to your government, and explain the differences between multilateralism and multi-stakeholderism. This is a good way to make a contribution.
Thank you for that very practical suggestion, Wolfgang. I know we now have a very short time. We've got 10 minutes to touch on an enormous topic, but I think the reason this topic is here is for precisely the dialogue that Steve and Jeff just touched on. There's also some really practical work that's coming up today. Thomas, did you want to say something about the IGO, INGO, PDP? If you could keep it very brief, but I know you just want to make, you've done some sterling work, spent all the hours that God sends on it, and I know you want to just make a quick point before we come into some questions in and around new GTLDs.
Thanks very much, Jonathan. Thomas Rickert again, and I would just like to use the opportunity to give the board a brief update on a PDP that you called a case study, as well as the GAC. So where are we with this? We have passed on a final report as well as a motion to council that will be deliberated on our during our Wednesday meeting. It's an 80-plus page report that we've prepared, and it took us a little bit over a year to complete our work, including 29 recommendations. And I think this has been an excellent case study of how good faith collaborative effort, both from the community as well with staff, can work. You know, the staff support was nothing short of excellent. We had 42 working group members, more than half of which were active all the way through. We had weekly two-hour calls. And rest assured, I think that you already saw the controversy surrounding this issue between the board and the GAC, and the challenges inside the working group have not been less than that. Right? Nonetheless, I think we came up with very well considered recommendations that will be discussed by the board, and I will provide further input on that and answer all your questions after the GNSO Council has deliberated and decided on this on Wednesday. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll publicly congratulate you as well, Thomas. I think it's tremendous work. I mean, I'm not sure it was a challenge I could have taken on, and so I think well done. I mean, what kind of an effort that was to try and shepherd that through to get it with the determination to get it to the point where it's ready to be reviewed by Council. Fadi?
I want to propose something. This is an idea that just popped in my head, because we remain defensive about the GNSO and its work. I still heard it today. We should stop being defensive about our work. We do great work of policy. And so I'm going to propose something very practical to my team. If you're open to this, I'd like to get a PhD student or something from a governance school, from any university you'd like, fund them to work with us, to actually study this as a case, and compare it to how other bodies make policy. And I bet you we will look stellar. A year, you make it sound like, oh, it took a year. Okay, let's have another body produce 29 recommendations with all these inputs in a year. All volunteers.
And rest assured, I will convey that to the group. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Thomas. Thank you, Fadi. We have we can throw it open to a couple of questions. You've literally got 5 minutes to wrap things up, so that's probably going to permit one or two questions if there are in and around the new GTLDs and the questions for the board and attention on this, if we haven't already made the generic point that we've sought the reassurance that this is not being lost or in some way superseded by all of the attention on the internet governance work. Shireen, I don't know if you want to say anything right off or if there are any questions from within the room or comments.
No, just to say that coming down to earth from the from all this international internet governance issues, the new GTLD continues to meet and meet regularly, almost on a weekly basis. We are conscious and aware of the issues that you guys are thinking of, and we're not taking them lightly. There are really hard decisions to be made. And and I know some of you have questions because some have tipped me off before coming about singular and plural and inconsistencies and so on and so forth. Let me assure you that we seriously don't stop thinking about it and don't stop putting ourselves in trying to do what is best for the entire community. So I don't know if anyone has a particular question, but rest assured that we're not being distracted by this internet governance issues, and we are focusing 100% on new GTLDs and making sure that we're doing the right thing for you guys. So if anybody has a question, I'm happy to take it.
Looks like we're going to finish. Jeff?
Yeah, why not? I can't let us finish early.
Oh, Jeff, no.
I guess maybe if you could let us know in terms of timelines and what your expectations are in working things out with the GAC and, you know, just what your vision is. Obviously, you can't predict whether you're going to work something out today, tomorrow, this week, but what have you talked about in terms of timelines and then letting applicants kind of know for some predictability as to when things will be resolved?
You're talking about the safeguards on Category 1 and Category 2 specifically?
Yes, specifically.
Okay. Well, I'll let Chris answer that since he's our shepherd on this, but I think it's straightforward, but Chris, go ahead.
Jeff, as you know, the paper's gone to the GAC as a sort of courtesy saying this is what we're intending to do to implement your advice. I have a sneaking suspicion that the GAC may have, the individual members of the GAC rather, may have some questions. We're meeting them this afternoon at 4:30, I think, straight after you are, so stick around. But my personal view is that barring any consensus advice from the GAC in the communique, we're done. We can move on.
I'm delighted. This is my delighted face.
You'll be dancing some tango now or something.
I could go see my psychiatrist now.
Right. I know Jeff's appointment with his psychiatrist is at exactly 2:30, so we're finished.
Bravo.
So we finished beautifully on time. Thank you very much. We'd love to talk with you outside of this forum. It's always a little sticky because, you know, of the formal nature of it, but very useful to have had the conversation at least, and probably to have stimulated some seeds for corridor conversation. So thank you to the ICANN board. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Fadi. Steve, I don't know if you want to say anything.
No, just thank you very much. We look forward to this, and as always, we enjoy and appreciate a substantive conversation and engagement on specific issues. We certainly have done that, and so I think we've used the time well. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You can stop the recording.